Getting down to it, last week of the preseason, teams are going to start opening up in 10 days. And I wonder, what's the biggest pressing issue around the National Hockey League in your mind, John, when you look at some of the contracts, some of the teams managing their rosters, some of the players that are out there and remain out there RFA-wise?
Well, I think now the biggest issue has morphed from the big four contracts. Why aren't they signed? I think we've learned that they're going to take their time, to injuries. I think injuries now are becoming a big factor. You know, it's now, what, 7 months that Barkov's going to be out minimum? What are the Panthers are going to do about that? JT Miller's now injured. Dylan Sandberg's been announced out with a broken wrist, 6 to 8 weeks in Winnipeg. Injuries are, I know, a factor, but as teams prepare, they also understand that great starts to seasons are important in order to try to maintain a playoff position in the spring. So to me, it's the injury bug is starting to become a major storyline, particularly when people have some cap space to work with.
So would you make a trade early if you're a general manager dealing with a team that does need to get off to a great start and is battling the injury bug, or would you try to be patient? Because it's so difficult, and there's not many sellers right now, or teams not expected to be making a big step. There might be only be one in Pittsburgh, but how aggressive would you be?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, that's a Rubik's Cube question, because, you know, if the prices are too high, then you're going to have to wait. If you have some cap space and you can afford to give up something, then you you can help your team win more games early, then you make the trade now. But I think it really is so dependent on what each individual team is going through. I mean, Bill Zito might feel that it's more important to do something quicker in order to try to keep the momentum of the last two Stanley Cups than to wait to the deadline when everybody else might want to be in the mix. That's a big factor, is that, you know, right now we're dealing with one-offs and we're not putting people's back to the wall with a trade deadline. So you can actually take your time in the short term and do something that might work and help your club when the season opens next week.
I'll be fascinated to watch what Detroit and Buffalo do out of the gate, having witnessed Montreal and Ottawa take big steps last year. Vancouver, today's guest, Jimmy Rutherford, they're a team that has hopes of getting back in, and they have other motivating factors. There's more than a handful of teams that have pressure to get off to good starts, not just avoid a stumble early on.
Well, I think one of the teams that feels it needs a good start, you know, got their signing done on the weekend in Anaheim, with Mason McTavish signing for a hefty chunk of change, you know, so with the 6-year deal. I mean, that's a big, big improvement quickly for Joel Quenneville and what he expects out of his squad. So I think that Pat Verbeek did that deal for that very reason. They know that they need McTavish right from the get-go and get him in the lineup and get him ready to play. And because Anaheim can't have a slow start, Darren. Anaheim cannot have a slow start in that division.
So you're thinking that they're going to be in the playoff mix?
Oh, I think they're going to surprise a lot of people.
Well, I don't have them in the playoff picture.
No, but I tell you
taking
what.
Taking a step, yes, but not a playoff.
Well, they took a step last year.
Yeah.
The question for me is, you know, a team like Anaheim has not played an important game in March for a long time. They haven't. March and April games have just meant good seats still available. And so I think that Anaheim's in a position this year to at least become a contender, and that games in March and April will be important for the franchise.
Going to be really key for Vancouver to get off to a nice start. And our good friend Jimmy Rutherford is standing by. When do we slide in the questions about Elias Pettersson? Do we go right off the bat, or do we warm him up first?
The great thing about Jimmy is that before you ask the question, he will have already brought his name up.
Oh, yeah?
If you watched his last couple of press conferences, before any of the guys in Vancouver can ask what they view as a tough question, Jimmy will already throw that name out there and say, we're addressing it.
All right. Well, I'll get at him. You don't worry about that.
You're a journalist. You're morally safer. Mike Wallace.
Hardcore.
Hardcore journalist.
Can we get somebody more modern than those two guys?
Who is there? Tell me who's the big new journalist now?
Well, you could say that those have gone by the wayside too, the way things are handled in a lot of cases.
I'm not going there.
Jimmy Rutherford coming up on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Always fun to catch up with our good friend Jimmy Rutherford from the Vancouver Canucks, who's getting ready for this season. You're a little more than a week out. What's occupying your mind right now as you tune up for the season?
Well, we're getting into the most important time of training camp, where decisions have to be made. And the good news is we really have some good young players knocking on the door to make this team. Our amateur scouting staff's done a good job under Todd Harvey. Our development staff's done a good job in preparing these guys, and I'm really excited about our young players. But at the same time, people don't look to the future, they look to the present, and so we're a little bit caught in between here, and we're going to have some tough decisions to make.
So of your roster, your 23-man roster, Jim, how many positions would have been in place before camp started?
Well, that's always hard to say. I mean, even players that have long-term commitments, if you know they're not ready to play, we have to take a look at those guys, whether they can help our team. But certainly, if you look at it, how many realistic spots were open, I think you could look at least three up in the forwards and two or three on defense. So that's why we've had such a competitive camp.
How did you approach it when you had your both hands on the steering wheel? I know you work with Patrick now. When you were caught in between, did you let the younger kids have more runway, or were you more hesitant towards that and go with veteran players?
I've never had a situation like what we're dealing with now. You know, I'm going to say the obvious, something that everybody talks about, and rightfully so. Our best player is 2 years away from free agency, and it's important for us to do everything we can to make the Vancouver Canucks as appealing as possible for Quinn Hughes. And so we know that these young guys are going to be good NHL players. Are they ready to play 82 games? Are they ready to help us get into the playoffs? That's something we'll see as we go along here. Nobody has that answer today until we get into the season. But at the same time, the coaches usually like to go with veteran players. And we know that there's one area on our team that we would like to make stronger, even though we like our center ice position Pettersson has done what he needed to do this summer. He had a really good offseason physically and mentally, and he's come into camp and he's been really good. And then as we go down the line, we believe in Hedl. He's a good player. He could be our second line center as long as he stays healthy and all those good things. And then Ratu and Bluger can fill out our center ice position. But at the same time, if we could add another center to give more depth there, we'd feel much more comfortable about our team.
How you mentioned Quinn. How do you, when you talk about managing that and making it attractive, how do you do that when you can't really do anything with it until next summer, Jimmy?
Well, no, his decision is not going to come until next offseason. But at the same time, you know, we're like all teams. We want to have the best team we can. We want to be a playoff team. We want to contend. We do think our team's improved. We like our coaching staff. We like the direction they're taking the team. We're coming out of having a very good camp, and I believe that the players are well prepared. The question is, do we have enough players to compete and to contend? And so that's something that all players look at. You look at other players that are talking about signing extensions and staying with their teams. And it's important for any player to know that the organization's going in the right direction. And that's what we have to deal with.
Could the decision on Quinn come this year, though, ahead of time, before you get kind of backed into any type of corner going into next summer?
It doesn't have to. You know, I mean, really, we're a long ways away from it. I mean, we could run that decision out until the trade deadline, not this trade deadline, but the year after, mm-hmm. and still get a great return on him. So, but that's not what we're looking for. That's not what our goal is. Our goal is to have Quinn Hughes be a Vancouver Canuck for a long time.
You don't shy away from this conversation. Why do you take it so head on?
Well, I usually do. It doesn't matter what situations they are. And sometimes I get in trouble for being too honest, but I don't think there's any reason to shy away from it. Everybody's going to talk about it, rightfully so. It's a huge story. It's a huge story for the Canucks and for their future. And I think as much as I can say about it is important. Whether people want to agree with me or not, that's the way things work. But I'm just giving my honest opinion of Quinn Hughes and where he goes forward.
So is that, I mean, short of driving him to and from the arena, do you and Patrick then have just constant discussions with Pat Brisson or Quinn, or how do you manage it? Rather than an interview situation like this, how do you manage it on a day-to-day basis as the season goes on?
Well, we don't have anything to talk to them about at this point. We can't extend his contract till July 1st. Our focus and Quinn's focus and the coach's focus is on winning hockey games, and that's where it should be for this season. But at the same time, people are going to talk about this, and it's important that Quinn, you know, stays focused to the task at hand. And when the appropriate time comes, then we'll deal with it. But at the same time, there's going to be people like yourselves and other media people and fans that are going to be curious as to what the organization feels and what they think. And I do the best I can to give as much as I can.
Where do you fit in the Western Conference right now?
I don't think anybody knows. We haven't played any games. I think that's why we play the games.
So do you have an idea of, because you talked about being stuck in the middle and where your team is competitive-wise, you must have somewhat of a gauge on where you might fit in as it relates to being competitive and helping the Quinn Hughes situation?
Well, I don't know exactly where we fit. I feel that we're a very competitive team. I like what the coach has done, what Adam Foote's done to prepare this team, the system he's put in place. He simplified our system for our players. They bought into it. And, you know, we have strong goaltending. We have strong defense. We have forwards that are capable of having good years. So I really don't know. I do feel strong that we have a good enough team to compete for a playoff spot. And once you get there with the kind of goaltending we have, anything can happen in the playoffs.
I knew we'd get there with that. I knew we'd eventually get an answer there.
Yeah, but I like Jimmy's first answer. That was good. That was him just giving you what for. I like that, you know? one of the guys that has raised eyebrows in your camp is your first round pick, Braden Coates. Is he going back? Are you going to give him 9 games? What's your thought process now, Jimmy?
We're getting into the meetings here for the next 3 days. You know, the coach, Adam and his staff will take a look at that and tell Patrick how he feels about where he fits into our team. And then the organization will have to make a decision. Is this the best thing for him now and for his future? We don't want to lose any development there. We know we have a very good player. We knew it when we drafted him. His camp has certainly shows that he's ahead of the curve, and he may very well be capable of helping this team. But that's going to be a tough decision this week.
You mentioned Elias Pettersson coming to camp in a better situation. Where has he improved? Where is he a step ahead of previous years?
I don't want to go back to all the years. I'm only going to go back 1 year to talk about where we were a year ago and where, you know, he had injuries in that off season, which prevented him from working as hard as he could to prepare for camp. So his preparation wasn't the same as it's been this year. And then, of course, we get into a situation that affected him mentally last year, and mentally and physically, and it made it hard for him to be himself. But Adam Foote has done an extremely good job of communicating with Petey and telling him what he needs to do, needed to get stronger, needed to feel better about himself, needed to be prepared mentally. And he did all those things. He worked at 100%. He came to camp, and he's prepared himself to be a much better player this year. And I give him a lot of credit, and I give Adam Foote a lot of credit.
One of the things about Pettersson is that, you know, we know his skill, and the size thing was a factor. And I think he's put on, is it 12 pounds? I think it sounds like he's put on 12 pounds this year to be better, be a huge factor for him.
Yeah, he's bulked up. There's no question. He's much stronger than he was a year ago.
So you see a different Elias Pettersson today than you did before.
Oh, 100% difference. Yeah. And the mental part of it, you know, he's just more relaxed. He's having more fun now. He's back to the person he was a few years ago. And that's important. Nobody wants to do anything in life where it's a struggle mentally. You know, you want to be comfortable with what you're doing and relaxed, and he's worked his way to that spot now.
Same thing for Demko. You think health issues are behind him now?
Well, you can never say 100%. The ones that he dealt with are behind him, yes. And I give him so much credit because last year was hard on him. He worked trying to get back last year. And he adjusted his training program with a trainer, and now those things are behind him. And so mentally and physically, he's in a very good place.
Want to dig a little bit on the market and what you guys are looking for outside your group. You said you've been liking what you've seen at center ice, but we'll talk about that as we continue with Jimmy Rutherford on 100% Hockey. Right after this with Millard and Shannon. Jimmy, I've read the quotes from Patrick. You alluded to it as well. What's the asking price out there for help if you're looking for a second line center? Is it steep?
Well, prices are always going to be high. I mean, the type of players that teams are looking for to upgrade their team, there's not a lot of them out there, if any, for that matter. And so your team's going to have to step up and pay a price for those players if, in fact, one comes available. But like I said a little earlier, if we go with the center ice we have, we're okay. We can get through it with our centers. But at the same time, if we added another center, move one of our centers to the wing and give more flexibility to the coach, I think everybody would be more comfortable.
And then this is one where Philip Hedel can actually disprove you, right? He can actually make it easier for you in the long run. If he's had a good camp, continue to play well at that center position and not have you worry about the number two center.
Even with that, I'm comfortable with him being the number two center. He's a very capable guy, very skilled guy, and he can be our number two center. But at the same time, to have that extra depth, look, we're going into a year that's going to be tough. It's probably going to be tough on injuries. We're playing a lot of games in a short period of time, and I would expect there's going to be injuries for most teams. So the more depth you can have, the more prepared you are, the better chance your team's going to be able to make the playoffs. And that's really the reason that we're looking at it now. Not because we don't believe that we don't have the center ice that can do it. It's adding more depth.
What's your impression been of Evander Kane and your expectations of him going forward?
I have pretty high expectations of him because I think he's a phenomenal player when he's playing his game. And my and our organization's expectations, I would say, are pretty high because we know what he's capable of doing. We know he's at a point in his career that he wants to continue to play. He's in the last year of his contract. He's got everything to play for. And I believe that he's going to be a difference maker for the Canucks.
Do you see him playing with Pedersen?
I don't know. I mean, that's really Adam Foote's decision. At this point in camp, he has not played him with Petey. I'm sure at some point in the year that could change. But right now, he has him playing with Hedel and Garland.
Is there a calm over your group compared to a year ago?
Yes. The team is much calmer and a much better place. This group appears to be really together and wants to succeed together and support each other. And it's just a total different feel from where we were a year ago. You know, we come off winning our division a year ago. I believe that there was a little bit of anxiousness and nervousness of what's to come for a team that won the division. And a lot of things went wrong, and our players couldn't get on track enough to get back to the playoffs.
What's the residue of your American League team winning a championship? How does that affect what you guys do in the big club?
Well, it affects our organization. It affects the players that played on that team. I think when you win a championship in the American Hockey League, it's almost like 2 years development for a player instead of one, because you play so long and the games are higher stakes in the playoffs. So it was great for the development of some of our players. It's going to give those guys that played on that team a better chance and be more prepared to play in the NHL this year.
What's the impact of having Brock back in the room? A lot of us had him penciled that he would not be part of the organization going forward, and that changed. So the impact of having him there.
It's a big impact. He's one of the most likable guys on the team. He's one of the team leaders. He's a difference maker. He can score goals to win you games. And it was important to bring him back. I can understand why you didn't think he was coming back, because we certainly didn't sign him too early. It was right at the deadline. But we had always hoped he wanted to come back, and we got to a place that both sides were comfortable.
So you were comfortable all along that he would resign?
I wasn't going out and placing a bet that he was going to resign. I knew that he wanted to stay in Vancouver, but we had not got to the point of a comfort level for him with his contract. But we finally got there just in the nick of time.
So how would you describe the style of hockey that Adam's going to put in place when you think about guys like Sherwood, Garland, Kane? How physical is your team going to be?
I wouldn't say overly physical. I would say that we're going to have a skating team with a lot of puck pressure. It'll be more of a team that's going all the time, more the style of play that teams win with now. But we do have some guys that if you get into those tougher physical games that can play that game also, which is important.
First-year head coach, does he have some learning to do, or has he been around the game both as an assistant and as a player to be pretty hit-the-ground-running-esque?
I've been in this game forever, it seems like forever, and I continue to learn, okay? So that's an easy answer. Sure, he's going to learn some things. But what I see in Adam Foote, I really compare him a lot to Rod Brind'Amour in their playing days. And I was with Brind'Amour a lot when I transitioned him into the front office when I was still in Carolina. And Adam Foote is the same. Character, leadership, played the game hard, played to win every game, won championships, and he knows how to win. And he's going to be able to take that behind the bench the same way as Brind'Amour did and be a very successful head coach. But can he learn some things? Sure he can, but so can we all.
And the change in coaching staff has to help too. I mean, Kevin Dean and Scott Young both bring other aspects to this organization that will probably help Adam a great deal. Do you find that? Is it a head coach or is it a group working together as one rather than just one single guy?
And also Brett McLean, by the way, he's right. Very, very important part of our staff. Well, I believe it's always a coaching staff that has to work together. But when you look at the situation we found ourselves in when Rick Tocchet decided to go back east and go to Philadelphia, I think that we are very fortunate that we were able to hire the people that we did. These guys are very, very good. I've watched them here now over the last month and so prepared, simplify things, explain things very quickly, simple, in a simple way that the players get it real quick. We have great drills in practice. We have very good practices, high tempo practices. And I really believe a lot in our coaching staff.
Is the strength of this team on the blue line, Jimmy?
Yeah, I would say the blue line and our goaltending is our biggest strength. But we certainly have some very good forwards also.
So you got two hands. You got everything that that you love about your team. Something you're not worried about is over here. What's something that you are concerned about coming in this season that you need to be addressed?
Well, I think we've discussed that a couple of times here. Is the depth at forward and especially at center ice. And that's not to say we don't have other center icemen in the organization. You know, Sasson's had a good camp. Alman is a safe player, a safe center iceman. Unfortunately, Mueller missed training camp. He's a player that I really think is going to be good. Can Coots play and stay with the team? I mean, that would be make a big difference in our center ice. But that's the one that we will watch the most.
That's a heavy decision. I mean, beyond the fact that he could help now, if you think he could, how much do you have to deal and figure out how it will affect his development long term?
That's what we have to figure out because we've seen it many times in the National Hockey League where organizations hurry a player, get excited about a player and push them. And then the development's not what it should be. I mean, we're talking about a mid-round, first-round pick, which we're excited about, who doesn't have a lot of experience right now, and hasn't filled out to become a man. But at the same time, you look at it on the other side of the coin, this guy is really smart. He's fast and he competes. All the things you want. So that's, like you said, that one's going to be a very tough decision. Hopefully we don't get in a hurry to make it. I'm sure his junior team's hoping we hurry and make it and send him back. I don't blame them. But we have to walk this one through very carefully.
One of the issues is what
can he gain by going back to junior?
It's playing with confidence and not being pushed on a game-to-game basis on an 82-game schedule in a very tough league to play in. It's the confidence factor. You don't want the player to lose confidence, even though he's gaining experience and developing.
And the other thing, Jimmy, in the next CBA, there potentially is a provision that you would be able to send one player to the American League. Would this be a situation where you'd probably say we'd rather have him in the American League than back in the dub?
That wouldn't be automatic in my mind. It may be in some people in our league that they would feel that way. But the American Hockey League is a hard league to play on. And I see it every time a player comes out of junior college and gets there, where they've been great players where they were, and then they get in the American Hockey League and they find out, wow, this league is hard. So I wouldn't say that's automatic. I quite frankly, I don't like that rule. Because I've been in junior hockey before and I know the cycle in the CHL, and they're working over a 3 or 4 year period to build their team towards a championship. And when you pull that 19 year old off the team, that really hurts their team. But we'll deal with the rule, because it's in there, and we'll make decisions accordingly. But I would think based on Kutz's camp, I would be surprised if he went back to junior and come in a year later and didn't jump right to the NHL. I think that's the more likely case if he went back to junior instead of going to the American League.
Are you of the belief that he would have to play regularly full time in the NHL? Or I'll use the Leo Carlson example, game management, load management. Would that be something that you would consider or along the line?
I don't mind that idea. I mean, that's a really an Adam Foote and Patrick Alvin question, but I don't mind it as long as he's not sitting too long. Mm. The player's got to play, but if we look at a player like this and said, you know, if we got 60 good games out of him and rest him appropriately and whatnot, that seems like a decent idea.
All right, we've been on here for a half an hour and nobody's asked about the practice facility, so what's going on?
we're going to get a practice facility.
In our That's lifetime?
I didn't say that.
Are you looking downtown? I've heard so much about this forever.
No, or it's are you too expensive go, downtown. Come
I
on.
Know. No, look, we since I've been here, we've worked on this and we've come close to a point where we could get one, but there's always political reasons or this and that. I brought it up and I've been pushed hard by Francisco, our owner, to figure this out. I do think we have a few options right now that we actually have a chance of moving forward, but we're not there today. I can't give you any more information than that, other than the fact that I am more optimistic today than I've ever been.
Here's a goofy one for you.
How much more important is that in building an organization?
Well, I think it's important. You know, for the most part during the season, we're not out of Rogers Arena, and we've got a great facility here. Ownership spent a lot of money on that a few years ago when I first got here, and it's a really nice facility. But you've got that period where the players come in a couple of weeks early before camp. Month of September is the busiest month for Rogers Arena as far as concerts go. And so we've got that 6 to 8 week period where it's really important to have a good facility where the players can go and feel comfortable and feel at home.
So location for it, and this is me just purely speculating. Do you look at where the players already live in that area, or are you open to any area?
We're open to any area within the vicinity of down within a half hour drive of downtown Vancouver. I'm not concerned about where the players live now, because once you get that practice facility, move into the future, they'll start living in that area. You know, when they come into town and start renting condos and whatnot, they're probably going to want to live closer to that area. So they'll adjust to that as time goes along.
Okay.
Hey, Saturday night, Columbus at Pittsburgh. Marc-Andre Fleury played the third period. And when he came in, I couldn't help but think of you. You were there for some of his great successes. Did you watch?
Every second of it. Just absolutely loved it. It was a great idea for the Penguins to do that. They're a first-class organization. They always think about things like that. And I couldn't be happier for the Flower. He's, when you look at the whole package that he brings from a personality point of view off the ice, in the dressing room, and his play on the ice, you know, you can debate him right up with the best goalies of all time.
What was it like to deal with him on a daily basis?
Great. Great. Always happy. Always smiling. Always told you how he felt. You know, when we got to the situation where Matt Murray was getting a little more of the ice time than Mark was, he'd come and meet with me every few weeks and tell me how he felt and whatnot. And then finally got to the point where he said that he wanted to go somewhere else. And I said, where? You know, let's work together on this. He said, I really want to play in Vegas. And I made sure that that happened. And then when he was in Vegas, and after a couple of years, I spent many, many hours on the phone trying to get him back to Pittsburgh. I thought we were going to at one point, and could never work something out with Kelly McCrimmon, but I would have liked to see him come back and play real games instead of just that one period. But can't say enough about this guy. He's the best.
And did he ever prank you?
No. No, he didn't.
We've got a bunch of
initiatives. How do you escape that?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Being the boss has its privileges.
I guess so.
It was kind of cool seeing the Big Four all together for that game too. It made me feel a little old, but it was nostalgic for a preseason game.
Very cool. Very, very cool. You think about the careers that those four guys have had, what they've done for the Pittsburgh Penguins, the city of Pittsburgh, and it's just amazing legacies that all those guys have.
Well, it tells you, it must have made you think a little bit more about 16 and 17, right?
It did. I guess we're going to be able to celebrate that. We're into our 10-year anniversary this year for 16 and another one next year. So I look forward to getting together with everybody.
Have you got your save the date for the reunion already?
I think I do. I can't recall what it is. I also have one for Carolina. So a few nice celebrations this year.
Well, let's make sure you have one for Vancouver soon.
That's what we're working on.
Be good, Jimmy. Thanks for being as gracious as always.
Great to be with you guys. Thanks a lot.
I can't believe you brought up the practice facility.
Well, no, go ahead, because I don't want to get ripped on social media in Vancouver, because, you know, that's all that everybody seems to care about in Vancouver.
I don't. That's sort of where I was going. Like, big picture, the wider audience is like practice facility. But it is as hot button issue in the Lower Mainland as Pettersson, the coach, goaltending.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things where, as Jimmy said, they have had so much access to the big rink all along that how much and when do you need it is really the key. Although, Calgary's going to get one with their arena. So I believe that once the new arena in Calgary is done, then Vancouver will be the only NHL team without a permanent practice facility.
lot of them are like Columbus and Edmonton. They're built right into their existing arenas, right? So it's it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I think it's more important than people realize. Winnipeg has it, and Winnipeg spends so much time downtown. And the Moose use the Hockey for All Center, but there are times when they have to go out there. But it's really when you're wooing a player and he's got a couple of different options.
Yeah,
that factors into it.
Well, I'll tell you what, the one place where I think the practice facility is fantastic is Pittsburgh. They have it's out in the suburbs, well out into the suburbs. But what a great facility they have created in Cranberry, Pennsylvania, which is where Jimmy, I'm sure, gets the idea that what he wants to do with his setup for the Canucks.
Yeah, and you can do all your morning skates, everything there, and you only go to the big rink. Vegas only goes to the big rink for games. That's it, and one practice a year for the team picture. Everything else is done at the practice facility, and it's huge, convenient for the players. So what are your expectations for Pettersson this year?
Well, expectations and expectations are two different things. For this team to be a playoff team, he has to be a 100-point guy again. And he has to take a leadership position. You know, the one thing that I think nobody talks about through all the crap that went on in Vancouver last year was that it was pretty evident who the leader was and who wasn't. And JT was far more of a bigger leader than Elias was. And so I think Pettersson really needs to, as we talked about, we know he's grown on the ice, putting on weight, using his skill. I think he has to become a leader. And that's going to be a challenge for him. That is truly going to be a challenge for him to play that role on that team. And make no mistake about it, they have some loud veterans that are going to make sure that, you know, they get heard. Evander Kane's not a shrinking violet. And so that Pettersson's going to have to stand up for himself. And I think it's important for the growth of the team that Pettersson is much more vocal.
There's no reason why it can't happen now. It's correct. On his plate, right?
That's kind of my point, Darren. That's kind of my point, is that now's the time. Now's the perfect time. New coach. New lease on life. They decided to buy into Pettersson, then Miller. Mm-hmm. Let's move. Okay? You have been given the keys to the castle. Now open the door and let's get going.
Hey, you're doing some interviews for a documentary. You're big time.
Yeah, I know.
What are you doing this for? You've got your pin on. You've got your suit jacket on.
I always wear the pin on my jackets. Okay,
on your suit jacket. Okay.
I always wear my Canada pin. I always do.
So they're leaning on the old hockey historian John Shannon for this thing.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Yes. So when I saw George Vezina play.
What's your earliest NHL memory? Seriously.
Saturday night, hockey night in Canada, Boston 11, Toronto nothing. Don Simmons in goal.
Mm. So what year would that have been?
64 or 65. I think 64. Bawling my eyes out.
What do you think Don Simmons felt like?
You know, he went to the next game he played in Chicago and shut the Blackhawks out. So there you go.
Yeah. Just look for the next shot, goalies. Just concentrate on the next shot.
It was 1964.
Wow.
Yeah. That was my first memory.
That's outstanding. You're not as long in the tooth as I thought, my friend. We bug you all the time, but that's good. That's a little more modern. And everybody else is like, what? Enjoy your week. We'll talk to you next time on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.